spoke with Brother Grant. I heard the press. Well, you've been there for 15 years, and he serves as the executive vice president of Blessed Oak Baptist College. And I used to tell Brother Graham one of the best moves he ever made was hiring Brother Presswood. And well, I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and I tell you, it's an amazing thing that God's doing and how he's using Brother Presswood. And he was coming through here tonight, and I wanted him to preach for us. Every year he brings a group and to our youth conference, and they work like we do, and I appreciate that. And so you listen to Brother Presswood tonight. I want him to come and feel at home and preach to us. So, Brother, you come preach to us tonight.
Thank you, brother. Well, it's a joy to be here. Been looking forward to this ever since we talked passing through, and I'm thrilled that the Lord was able to work this out for us to be here. And it looks like I'm going to be back again real soon on the 10th for that pork dinner. And amen. So, amen. All right. Yes, that's great. Well, most of you know who we are, but my wife Stephanie's with me. Of course, I don't go very far without her. We've been married now 39 years, and what a blessing that is. We just had our 11th grandchild back in July, and so we're tickled to death with that. Being a grandpa is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Yeah, I tell you, I don't know. I don't know very many things I would trade that for, but everywhere we go, they say, yeah, I could see how you could have 11 grandchildren, but her, not a chance. And so the Lord's allowed me to take good care of her over these 39 years. Amen, what a blessing. But it's always good to be back in the state. I grew up in Lincoln, Illinois. All of you know where Lincoln is. And I had an uncle who had a big dairy farm down here in Hallsville, right outside of Hallsville. So I would spend several weeks every summer with him. Now, this was back in the 70s when I was a kid. But I'd spend several weeks during the summer helping him milk cows, twice a day milking cows. And boy, I thought I was a big farmer and learned a lot on that cattle farm then. And I still, when we go down, probably won't tonight if it's going to be dark, but usually when we're going down Route 10 back towards Lincoln, I'll zip off the highway and drive by that house and just see what's become of it and everything. Brings back just so many good childhood memories. And I love this part of the country, although I do not miss your winters. I do not miss those at all. We've been down in Arkansas now 15 years, and we do like the winters down there quite a bit better, a little more mild than they are up here. But we do love this part of the country, and anytime I get a chance to preach the Word of God, I am always honored and thrilled and humbled to be able to do that, and especially to stand behind this pulpit of my good friend Brother Robertson and the men who've stood behind here preaching the Word of God year in and year out. I appreciate that. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 133, and I want to give you just one quick thought here this evening. Typically, normally I'm not long-winded by any stretch of the imagination, but I hope that I never get finished before God gets finished, and I hope I never go on longer than he wants me to go on. So we'll see how long he wants us to be here tonight, all right? And so I want to preach on this subject, and if you know this passage of Scripture, this is a very short chapter, but I want to speak to you this evening on this topic, beholding the beauty of unity. Beholding the beauty of unity. Wasn't that group just a blessing up here? I loved hearing all the parts. I was singing several over there myself and trying to find one that fit and everything. I love that beautiful harmony. We're going to see here in a minute that unity in a church or unity in a home or unity within any organization is likened to harmony to a very real degree. And you say, Brother Presswood, why in the world would you preach on unity in a local church? Well, because I understand a local church are full of people. And I understand and I've been married 39 years, and I have a mother-in-law. And I know that anytime you get people together, there's going to be the propensity, I guess, or the potential for a disunity. Even in a home, we have four children that were raised, obviously, in our home, and there were times that there was disharmony in the home. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he wrote to the book of to the church at Corinth. Now, Corinth had a lot of problems, no question. But one of the problems that he's jumping off and dealing with immediately in chapter 1, he says, hey, I hear that there's some divisions among you. He said, as a matter of fact, the house of Chloe wrote me and set everybody out, threw everybody under the bus. The House of Chloe told me what was going on there. So he said, I want to try to get some things straight. And unity is something that is vitally important in our society today, because people in our communities, the lost around us, need the church now more than ever. Now they need the Lord, don't they? Of course, they need the Lord. But the Lord has chosen to use the church as his avenue to get the gospel to this world. And so there has to be that unity. Would you stand with me, please? We're just going to read this entire chapter. It's only three verses, and we'll read this together. Follow along as I read. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. The dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we give this quick challenge to this dear church this evening. Lord, I know this is without a doubt what you've laid on my heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be able to say only that which needs to be said. And, Lord, that we might all be encouraged in this matter. And, Lord, I pray that your will would be done in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. I know how it is in my home. Now, we are empty nesters now, and let me say this, we are absolutely loving the empty nest stage of life. We love it, we love it, we love it. And now the grandkids come over. We have 11 grandchildren, and 8 of them live very close to us there. And so we're always, and all all 8 that live right next to us or right near to us in that town, the town we live in, are all granddaughters. And so we have the granddaughters come over all the time, and they play. Some of the grandkids call me Pawpaw. Some call me G-Paw. Some call me Grandpa. I don't care what they call me. I mean, it's just whatever you call me, I'm answering, all right? Don't you love FaceTime? This technology, we have some that live out in Pennsylvania, and I love being able to get on the FaceTime and seeing the grandchildren and being able to talk to them and interact with them. And we have little Violet. She was born in November, so this November she'll be 2. And so she's making a lot of noise and talking, but I can't understand a thing, but it doesn't matter. I'll talk to her anyway. And so I'll get on the keyboard and I'll play, hey, Violet, you want to sing a song with Pawpaw? And she'll make a noise and I'll start playing, Jesus Loves Me. And she'll just start singing and the word, can't understand a thing of it. But isn't it, it's a great thing, isn't it? It's a great, and when the home is in unity, there is nothing greater. The home is literally a heaven on earth, and I can't wait to get home. I can't wait to be around that calmness and the serenity and the peace that comes with a unified home front. When things aren't going good, that's when we want to work overtime, right, man? Yeah, we're not eager to get home. We're not eager to get back. And fellas, we can tell within 5 seconds of opening that front door whether everything's okay, can't we? We just know. We just know exactly what's going on. When the kids are little, they all used to run and be so excited to see daddy, but then if there's something going on in the home and you open it up and they're not there, you're thinking, oh dear, which one is it? And I could probably win a lot of money by betting which one of my 4 it was that is the problem. But you see, the same thing can be said in the church. And I know your church, if your church, I believe, is like our church, we are probably the exception to the rule here I believe we have a very unified church. Brother Robertson, you know this. Brother Matt, you know this. You commented on this. When you come to our church, when the preaching's done, there's still people there an hour after church. And I thought, why did I quit preaching so quick? I could have preached, you know, and they wouldn't stay if I preached that long, or the pastor, but they're there milling around and visiting, and that's the way it ought to be. And we're going to see this, but this Psalm chapter 133, is one of the songs of degrees. If you look in the heading here in my Bible, it says a song of degrees of David. This is a title given to Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, and these songs were designed to be sung by the children of Israel as they ascended or made their way up to Mount Zion on the holy days of worship. And we're going upward. And if these songs were sung in order, I don't have any idea if they were or not. If they were sung in order, then Psalm 133 would have been one of the last songs that they sung just before entering the temple itself. And I think that's significant that one of the last things perhaps that they would have been singing as they entered into the temple was a song that called them to behold the beauty of unity, the beauty of togetherness. I think it's safe to conclude that one of the things that God wants us to think about as we are gathering together in His name each and every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anytime that the church family gathers together, I believe one of the things that God wants us to think about is the beauty and the prominence of unity in the church. And this is something we're to look at, something we're to carefully consider, something that we are to ponder in our hearts and in our to think about as we gather together, unity. Why? Because he says in verse 1, behold. I want you to behold this. This is something I want you to observe. So this psalm falls into two divisions, two simple points tonight. And Brother Robertson, they're even alliterated for your benefit. Hallelujah. Number one, the beauty of unity is defined. The beauty of unity is defined. Look at verse 1 with me. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now notice the phrase here, dwell together in unity. I believe they give us a clear definition of the beauty that David says is both good and it is pleasant. It's a good thing. It is a pleasant thing to have unity. The words dwell together tells us that this unity is not just a passing fancy. It's something that is a constant, something that is it's set, it's settled. These brethren are committed to each other in unity. They dwell together in unity. They have a desire to be unified. And how pleasant that is and how good that is. Now let me say this. This isn't unison. It's not talking about unison. I enjoyed the choir. I love the choir. Singing. In fact, as I, again, was trying to sing along a little bit with the choir, but if everybody sang in unison, now it probably would still sound okay, but it wouldn't have sounded as good, everybody singing in unison, and I know sometimes we do that, but here at First Baptist Church, and the same as ours at Victory Baptist Church, everyone is not required to do exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, and I'm thankful for that. If everybody had my personality there, it would not work out at all. We're all different, and thank the Lord for that. Matter of fact, if my wife had my personality, it would not work out because only one of us can be in charge, right? We're not going to get on that. Hallelujah. But God has given us uniquenesses of personality, uniquenesses of gifts, unique abilities, and when we use those things. But this isn't talking about unison, where everybody has to be the same, or it's not talking about uniformity by any means, where we're required to wear a uniform or look the same or all of that. It's just not that. We don't have to be a church full of clones in order to have unity, I guess is what I'm saying. We can be unique. God gives us the opportunity to be unique in our personalities, in our abilities and such. But the concept of unity is very well illustrated, as I mentioned earlier, by this concept of harmony. I love good harmony. Those of you who know me, I am a gospel quartet purist, okay? I love quartet music. I love the low bass. I love the high tenor. I love the parts in between. I love that, and I could listen to that, and I do listen to it quite often. But the harmony, the sound, the wonderful sound of harmony, when we sing in harmony. Those folks up here, now I know you had at least five singing. I don't know if you had a sixth on the piano singing or not, but you had five, so somebody had to be singing somebody else's part. All right, two of you had to be doubling, so I mean one of you wasn't necessary. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Okay. So, anyway. Yeah, there you go. Brother Matt, you're anyway. But when you sing in harmony, isn't that such a beautiful thing? It's beautiful. And when we sing harmony, what is that? It's a blend of many different voices. Some are loud. I'm talking about even in the congregation. Some are loud. Some are soft. Some were high notes. I was sitting right in front of the soprano section during the choir, and so the ladies were hitting those high notes, and I'm thinking, man, that's good stuff. I couldn't hit those if my life depended on that. But some sing the high notes, some sing the low notes, but when everything is blended together, they make something beautiful. They make something just good and pleasant and pleasing, and it just sounds so good, and you almost want to say, hey, sing that again, or do that again, or let's hear that again. And when we're singing as a congregation, I love it, as we lift our voices, and some are singing the same thing the song leader sings, some are singing a different part, and it's all blending, and it just sounds so wonderful, because that's what God's hearing. He is our audience. Many people think that, well, the special music here, they're the performer and the congregation is the audience. No, that's not what it is. We as a church are the performers, if you will, and God is our audience. And he's the one that's looking down and he's saying, wow, that sounds good. That's good. I noticed Patrick wasn't singing, and that's probably did sound pretty good. I ever told you the time Patrick tried out for our singing group? Did I ever tell you? Oh, man, I laughed until I cried. Not because he was singing. I didn't laugh when he was singing. Trust me on that. But we had the young men, okay, we're going to try to get a singing group. And so I told the young men, just get a song, any song. My son Jonathan can play just about anything. And so Patrick came in, and I don't remember what a day that will be, or I don't remember what song it was. So anyway, Patrick comes down, and I said, what song you got, Patrick? He said, what a day that will be. And so Jonathan starts playing, and Patrick starts singing, there is coming a day. He got about four lines, and he said, I think you've heard enough. And he walks out. he walks right out. Oh, and me and Johnny laughed for another 10 minutes on that. And he was right, though. We had heard quite enough of that. But anyway, but I tell you, in all seriousness, you give me someone that had Patrick's attitude, I don't care if he can sing. You give me his attitude, I want him in front of, you know, representing Blessed Hope Baptist College. I don't care if he can't carry a tune in a bucket, which he can't. But I'm saying, I'm proud of Patrick. He is an esteemed alumni, and I will tell people everywhere I go that Patrick's one of ours. And a graduate. So, but brethren dwelling together in unity doesn't just happen any more than that quintet just happened or that song just happened. You had to work on it, didn't you? You had to. I saw the choir or heard the choir practicing, saw the group practicing, and we have to work to get there. We have to work to stay there. It takes great effort to be able to sing together in harmony. And when a church is going to be unified, it takes great effort to get there, and it takes great effort to stay there. Why? Because Satan does not want our churches unified. He doesn't want that. He wants us in turmoil. He wants us in conflict. He wants there to be tension. Why? Because the lost crowd are looking for a reason not to come and be a part of what we have here. And if they come in here, and we're going to get into this here in just a little bit, but when they come in here and they sense tension or sense turmoil or sense conflict, they're going to say, I've got that at home. Why would I need to come to church and be a part of something that is tumultuous or whatever the case might be? So it takes great effort to respect our differences. When you have a quartet, you're not all going to sing the same part. You're going to have a different part. And it takes, you know, if everybody wanted to be the bass singer, it'd be a pretty dismal quartet, wouldn't it? Or if everybody wanted to sing the high tenor. But it takes effort to respect our differences and our distinctiveness while moving on together for the glory of God. So this beauty is we can liken it to harmony, but it's defined as both good and pleasant. Now, there are some things that are good but not pleasant. I'm old enough, and many of you are old enough to remember when cough syrup did not taste good. You remember those days? Now they taste like candy. Now kids are begging for it. In my day, we didn't ask for cough syrup. Great day in the morning. I mean, we tried not to cough so we wouldn't have to have cough syrup. I mean, it was the nastiest stuff you could ever imagine. Anybody here had to take the cod liver oil, anything like that? Boy, let me tell you, I'd just rather die. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Just let me forget about all that. Just let me go on to heaven. That's what I say. But some things are good for you, but they're not really pleasant. Other things may be pleasant, but not really that good. Krispy Kreme donuts. How many like Krispy Kreme? Or Dunkin' Donuts, or any kind of donut for that matter. Very pleasant. I mean, I think that might be what the Old Testament manna was on the ground. You know, as they went out and gathered the donuts every day, they would go out and gather a dozen here and a dozen there. On Saturday, they gathered two. And the problem with that is my two dozen would still be gone by Sunday. And so, but maybe it's pleasant, but not really that good. So we know that it's good for a church to be in unity. But we know that it's also, when a church is in unity, it's something that is pleasant. It's something that pleases us. It's something that creates a pleasant atmosphere when we walk in. As soon as you walk in the back door, when there's unity in a church, you're saying, wow, now that's exactly what I've been looking for. I'm glad I'm here. And it can be a visitor that walks in the back door. They can sense that atmosphere of unity. When I come to church here, I have a kindred spirit with you all here. I've been around you all long enough. As Pastor said, we come every year to the youth conference. Always enjoy that. And one of the things that I am always amazed at is how much participation you have from a church. It seems like everybody comes out and helps in that. And that's the way it ought to be. What a blessing that is. And so when we come as a visitor, when we walk in the back door and we come and join in the worship, we're saying, wow, this is exactly what this is supposed to be like. This is exactly where I want to be. This is good. This is pleasant. This pleases me. I am very comfortable here because we have unity. I love to walk into a church and hear that buzz sound, that the sound of people talking and laughing and fellowshipping together, and even after church. And we have people at our church that come early. We have people, well, not too many come early, but you know, that's probably why they stay late. They're making up for getting there 10 minutes late. But they stay late, and I enjoy that, and they're just hanging around a little bit. Fact is, they stay so long that we had to put locks on our door where the staff could just lock up and go home. And the people said, well, just let yourself out. The door will lock behind you when you go. And then we've got it where we can turn the lights and the thermostats off manually or with our phones now. So, I mean, we can just go on home. What a blessing that is. But that's good. I love it when people just want to stand around and visit and to just be a part of each other's lives and just that unity. And that's a wonderful thing. When we come together on Sundays, isn't it a great thing? It's like a homecoming meeting. It's like being able to see people we haven't seen all week, perhaps, and we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're having time in the Lord. We're singing. We're enjoying ourselves. We're laughing. I think it's okay to laugh in church, don't you? I do. I think the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. I believe he was the happiest man who ever walked this planet. I honestly believe that. And I believe that you can have a fun time doing whatever you're doing. Life is too short. And I don't know how much I've got left. You know I've got more behind me than I do ahead of me. And I want to enjoy every single day of my life. I don't. It's just too precious to not enjoy and have fun. And we're having a great time in the Lord, and it isn't wrong. It's good, the Bible says. It's pleasant. And David said that. Secondly, not only is the beauty of unity defined, but secondly, the beauty of unity is described. It is described. Look at verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. So the psalmist here is saying the beauty of unity is like this precious ointment. It's like this anointing oil that was given in the Old Testament that speaks of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 25, God told Moses to give this instruction to the people, thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So God commanded Moses to make this, to have this made. It's what they anointed the priest with. It's what they anointed the vessels of the tabernacle with, all of these things. And it was only to be used on those things which were to be dedicated to the Lord. It was to those things that were consecrated to the Lord, this oil. It was to be poured not only on Aaron and his sons, but as I said, all the instruments used in the tabernacle worship. And here's a great key or a great analogy here. It was not to be imitated or used for any other purpose. In Exodus 30, chapter 30, verse 32, upon man's flesh it shall not be poured. Now it's talking about anyone who's not in that, the priest, Aaron, or his sons. He said, upon man's flesh it shall not be poured. Neither, notice, shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. So this anointing oil in the Old Testament is a type of the, or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. All right, and the oil was very fragrant, very distinctive in odor. I mean, it was very noticeable after Aaron was anointed with his oil. If you were downwind of him, you could tell Aaron has been anointed with his oil. You could tell he was here. You could smell him for days. The heavy oil would linger all around the vessels of the sanctuary of God so that when people smelled that fragrance, they knew they were around the anointed and consecrated and dedicated things of God. Okay, can you see the analogy here? Today, we don't experience this unity necessarily by taking a trip to Jerusalem and getting that anointing oil on us. No, today we experience this unity when we come together and gather in the church where the Holy Spirit of God has free reign in our church, and that anointing oil of the Holy Spirit just consumes us and runs down all over us, and everybody knows that we're here. Everybody knows this is what's going on. This is a genuine anointing. Now, God told the children of Israel, don't try to manufacture a substitute for that. Nothing any more hideous than a church trying to manufacture the power of the Holy Spirit, trying to pump people up to the point, you know, if you don't have it, you don't have it. And the Bible says here, you can have it anytime you want it when you come together and dwell in unity. Isn't that a blessing? It was not to be imitated. It was not to be duplicated. Years ago, the great evangelist Vance Havner made this statement. He said, the Holy Spirit could stop working in most churches today and they would never know the difference. Isn't that a sad, sad commentary? And his reasoning was simple. The Holy Spirit didn't have much to do with what was going on in the service. And again, I know you're the exception here. Churches like ours are the exception to this. But the sad fact is, I've been in churches, I've preached in churches where I couldn't wait till the preaching was over. And I was the one doing the preaching because it was lethargic and dead and no liberty and no moving of the Holy Spirit. The people weren't prayed up. They weren't even, I don't think they were glad to be there. And I give my wife the signal, I'll flash my keys at her. That means, honey, get the car going, because as soon as we're out of here. And if you ever experienced that, it's not a fun thing. And it's a helpless feeling when you're in the pulpit and there's it's deadness. And it really is not a good thing. Thank the Lord it's not like that here. I'm having the time of my life. We might preach till 8 tonight. I'm just having a great, great time. But the Holy Spirit didn't seem to have much to do with what was going on in most churches, Mr. Havner's comment. And secondly, we're far too good at inventing substitutes for spirituality. We can do that. We can manufacture. We can sing the song so many times. We can sing it loud enough. We can sing it fast enough. Then we think we can manufacture a movement of God. And that's simply not the case. We can't do that. God says you cannot imitate this oil. You cannot imitate this anointing. It's something that is unique. It's something that I have given you the composition. God himself gave Moses the composition of this oil, and he said, this is exactly how I want it made, and it cannot be duplicated, it cannot be substituted, and it cannot be used for anything except that for which I have designated. The oil ran down Aaron's beard all the way to the hem of his garment. Now, I'm going to age myself here and age the rest of you who understand what I'm saying, but this isn't like Brill Cream where a little dab will do you. Thank this old timer here in the corner. Yes, all right. But that's not what it's talking about. It's not a little dab will do you, you know, and you put a little dab on there and rub it in, whatever the case might be, comb it over. No, when they anointed Aaron, it ran all the way down. I mean, mean, it started at his head, ran through his beard. I mean, all the way down to the hem of his garment. Have you ever had a teenage boy that just learned how to shave? Maybe they're just shaving, and they come in, and they felt like they just got ran over by an Avon truck or something. I mean, you could smell them like, good heavens. I mean, all that cologne is all over them. That's what this was like. And you get the picture here. Where unity prevails in the church, the Holy Spirit blesses generously and freely and manifests his presence powerfully so that when you come in, everybody knows it. Everybody is aware of it. And when you start singing, there's just something different about it. When the preacher starts preaching, there's something different because there's unity and the Holy Spirit has been invited to be a participant in the service, and everybody's having a wonderful time. And truly, this is the good part, Brother Robertson, truly people aren't concerned about the time. They're just so happy to be in God's house, and the Holy Spirit is moving, and it's just, it is so evident. We can come together, we can pray, we can sing, we can testify, but if the fragrance of the Holy Spirit isn't in the air, then it all seems strangely empty, strangely meaningless, and something's missing. Another description of the unity that the psalmist here talks about. Notice in verse 3, he says, it is as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So he says, secondly, this beauty of unity, or this unity that is a beautiful thing and a pleasant thing to behold, he says it's like the dew of Hermon, which I believe speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know what dew is, right? We're in an area here, and we know what dew is. Obviously, the dew serves to water the plants and promote their growth. In Israel, it was very, very key because many times the only way that things got watered there was by the dew. That was a very necessary thing. And the spiritual application to dew and unity, when we're talking about dew and unity together, and I believe this is what the Word of God is alluding to here, is more related to its formation. Now, I'm not a meteorologist, and I'm not going to ask if anybody's out here. Last time I made a crack about a mortician, found out you had a mortician in the crowd. Okay, I'm not going to do that. So I'm not going to say, I'm not a meteorologist, and if you are, maybe you can help me on this. But the application of unity is the formation of the dew. Did you know that dew does not fall from the sky? Okay, rain does, and other forms of precipitation do that, but dew does not fall. It doesn't rise at all. It forms. This is exciting, brother. Dew only forms when the atmospheric condition is just right. It has to be perfect before the dew will form. It has to do with the water vapor in the air, and it only forms on a still night, never after a storm. That's interesting. As I was studying this, we're never left to wonder whether or not the atmospheric conditions were right for the formation of the dew, because all we have to do is walk outside early in the morning in the grass, and if your feet are wet, hey, there's dew out there. Or you look on your car, there's precipitation, whatever the case might be. And it all has to do with the atmospheric conditions, the atmosphere surrounding it. And this speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Here's what's happening. When there's unity in the church, when the atmosphere is right, when people are in harmony, when people are all going the same direction, when people are loving one another, and when people are praying for one another and praying for the pastor and praying for souls and praying for missionaries, and when they come together and there's that joy of the Lord, there that atmosphere is so ripe for the dew of heaven to fall, and the Holy Spirit is able to work in mighty, mighty way. This speaks of the power of the Spirit because of the last expression there in verse 3, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So when the dew of Hermon falls on the hills of Zion, God has commanded that there will be the blessing of life forevermore. What is that? This dew brings fruitfulness. Fruitfulness and blessing, so that we'll see souls saved, we'll see a growing church, we'll see a church that is reaching out, a church that's reaching its community, a church that's reaching the world because of that unity there. Brethren, dwelling together in unity is both good and pleasant. And where there is unity, the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit flows both genuinely and generously. And where there is unity, the dew of the Spirit forms softly and silently to leave us saturated with His presence and with His, and the end result is fruitfulness. You see, God has no desire to use a church or to use an organization that does not have this quality of unity, the tension with that. We have to get that fixed first. And souls are saved. The church grows because people are desperate for a place where there's unity. I was saved as a result of the bus ministry all the way back in the 70s here in Lincoln, Illinois. A Southern Baptist church back in those days. How many of you remember the old State Street Baptist Church? Brother Virgil Graham was the pastor back then, and he started a bus ministry all the way back in the 70s, early 70s, probably 72 or so. I started riding the bus to a Southern Baptist church, and my wife's dad was the bus driver. We weren't married then. She was only 4 years old, and so wanted to wait till we could read first, but anyway, but one of the reasons and one of the things that attracted me to the church was the turmoil and the tension that was in my life elsewhere. And when I came to church, they were singing songs, they were playing games, they were having snacks and all of these things. Candy was flowing freely, and that's what drew me to the church, is the unity, the blessings of God that was on that church and was on that place. And I said, that's what I want to be a part of. Nothing that men can build or create and no amount of human talent or ability will make up for what a church loses when unity is lost. We can't do that. So my challenge tonight is, let's be a church, continue being a church where people all across Clinton, Illinois can behold the beauty of unity that is present here at First Baptist Church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the simple truth of the message tonight. Lord, I know without a doubt this is the message you laid on my heart weeks ago. And so, Lord, I've done my best to be obedient to you in this matter. And, Lord, I pray that you would just take the words, Lord, have the precious Holy Spirit of God do the work that only He can do. And, Lord, I pray that your will would be done during the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray.